There was a well-dressed man running down the middle of the road as Rutledge rounded a bend and slowed for the village he could see just ahead. The man stopped at the sound of his motor car and flagged him down. Closer to, Rutledge could see that he was red-faced, distraught, and not hiding it very well. Pulling up beside him, Rutledge said, "Something wrong?"
"God, yes. Thank you for stopping."
He fought for breath.
"There's a man on the church roof. He has a shotgun and he's threatening to shoot Constable Biggins if he comes a step closer. I've been ordered to find the doctor, but in the event someone's hurt, I can't reach my own motor car. He'll see me, whoever he is. Will you take me to the Miller Farm and then bring the doctor back here?"
"I'm Scotland Yard, Inspector Rutledge. I might be more helpful on the scene. You can fetch the doctor yourself." The man's face brightened.
"Scotland Yard? Yes, for God's sake, do something. He's got the vicar's daughter up there with him. She's only 14. She's my niece."
"Who is he, the man holding her hostage?"
"Well, I don't know. I'm told he was walking down the road this morning, calm as you like, and then he changed suddenly. I heard a good bit of shouting and started toward the greengrocer's to see what it was about. Halfway there, he ran past me. I don't know how he came to have the shotgun. He wasn't carrying it earlier."
"Then he found it somewhere." Rutledge pulled the motor car to the side of the road and got down. "How did your niece become involved?"
"Well, I've no idea. I carried on to the greengrocer's, thinking he might have tried to rob the shop, but he hadn't. Instead, he'd encountered someone just outside and was quarrelling with him."
He broke off and turned quickly as they heard the shotgun fire.
"Oh, dear God!
Go on, find that doctor." Rutledge set out at a run. There were cottages on either side of him, some of them set back in gardens, most of them opening directly on the road, and ahead he could see the first of the shops. But it didn't run straight, the road, curving instead around a long pond that appeared to be part of a medieval village green. And still he couldn't see the church. Swearing, thinking too late that he ought to have asked how to find it, there it was, just where the road turned back on itself again, beyond the tall brick house on his left. The tower faced the road, but there was no sign of the man with the shotgun or the girl on the roof below it. But he could see a small group of people in the churchyard staring upward. Hamish spoke.
"He's out of sight, hidden by yon tower."
Rutledge was busy looking for a way to reach the church without being seen by the onlookers. The last thing he wanted was to give the shooter an excuse to fire again. Now he could see the board identifying the brick house as the vicarage for St. Matthew's Church. Letting himself in at the gate, he circled the house and found a smaller back gate with a path that led to the church porch. Voices came to him as he got closer, and someone shouting. Constable Biggins trying to reason with the man above. The exchange didn't sound promising. Rutledge was halfway to the porch when he heard the shotgun again. This time, someone cried out. He nearly stumbled over a footstone as he looked up, trying to pinpoint just where the man was. But he and the girl were invisible still. Rutledge took his time opening the porch door, but the ancient hinges shrieked in protest anyway, and he got himself through as small a crack as possible. Hurrying across the silent nave, his footsteps hollow on the flagstones, he made his way toward the tower. A graceful arch led into a small entry where he faced a second door, this one the massive and firmly shut, iron-bound wooden one at the west front. But to his left, a narrower wooden door stood open, and he stopped to take off his heavy outer coat and leave it on the small table where leaflets and church notices were neatly spread out. Then he eased himself to the threshold where he could look upward. In a tight spiral, stone steps fanned up into the tower, but he couldn't see beyond them. A rope for the bell dangled past him, the last dozen feet thickly braided with red and white threads. He began to climb, taking his time, and keeping close to the inner wall, even though the steps were narrowest there. 25 feet up, the stone steps came to an end at a wooden platform, and from there, a wooden ladder went upward into the shadows. Taking a deep breath, he gripped the sides and looked up. A dim light showed at the top, where the clock face and a single large bell loomed.